Well, thank you, Emma and Nigel, for worship. Much appreciated. And while we're giving thanks, thank you, Church, for your prayers and your support over this past year. What a strange year it's been. God is good to us, though, isn't he? Amen. He certainly is. And we do thank you for what you've been doing. We do believe that God has a plan and purpose for us. And we are looking forward to meeting again soon in person, God willing, hey? Amen. Well, we're looking again in Romans. I've been looking at this whole picture of the power of the gospel. This week, we're going to start in Romans, and we're in Romans 1, and we're going to finish in Romans 3. I want us to understand afresh the power of the gospel. Now, I know when I look at this subject, I'm always conscious that I'm preaching to the converted, because many of you that listen to this are from church and are saved, born again, spirit-filled and heaven-bound. But there are one or two people who listen to our messages who are still searching out. But for those, and for those that already know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, I think it's good to be reminded of the power of the gospel. Because if the gospel is powerful, then we ought to be preaching it on a regular basis, don't we? Amen. So let me start once again in that passage in Romans 1, starting at verse 16. I'm going to do a lot of reading because I believe that it's the word that will set us free, because it's the truth. So please bear with me as I read. Verse 16, Romans 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Let me read that again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says, because it is the power of God. The power of God is found in the gospel, the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings salvation to everyone who believes. First the Jew, then the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Where is the righteousness of God revealed? In the gospel. It's revealed in the gospel, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Faith is something that we need to have, and we need to have it, and we need to put it in Christ Jesus. So last week and the week before, I read that portion of scripture. I also read this portion of scripture out in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, starting at verse 7. Paul is speaking to Timothy here, and he says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power. And Paul could be speaking to us. So for us, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord Jesus Christ, or of me, Paul says, a prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So even when we go through times of difficulty, the power of the gospel is what will sustain us. That's why I believe through this day, we need to be reminded time and time again of that power that's found in the gospel, the good news about our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. When we talk about being saved, I want to remind us afresh, we're being saved from hell to heaven, from an eternal death, separation from God, to an eternal life with Christ Jesus. So when we use that word being saved, we're being saved from sin and being made righteous through the gospel, which is powerful. In Galatians, we read this last week. In Galatians, Paul says this, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ. Grace, undeserved favor. We will hear that time and time again when we are listening to Paul, when he's reading, when he's writing, when the Holy Spirit is revealing Christ to us afresh. It's grace, grace, grace. It's undeserved favor. We can't earn it. We need to receive it. It's undeserved. God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will have life in life in all his fullness. That's why I believe, and I know you do, that the gospel is powerful. But God tells us through his word how powerful this gospel is. So we could preach messages on lots of things, but during this time, during this season, while we are seeking God's face and saying, Lord, what do you want to do with us, Grace Community Church, in this next year? What plans and purposes have you got for us? We know you want to bless us. We know you want to sustain us. You know, we know you want us to grow, but you also want us to be spiritually aware of what you're saying. So power in the gospel. Amen, church. Amen. I am astonished, Paul says, that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of God, or the grace of Christ. You are turning to a different gospel. There's no different gospel for true believers, is there? There are people and churches and circumstances, situations we'll find ourselves in. There are books we can read. There are tapes we can watch that will give us a distorted gospel. That's where the gospel loses its power. But friends, if we stick to the truth, the whole truth, then we'll be set free. It doesn't matter what we go through. The world is in a pandemic at the moment. There's a lot of fearfulness, but God calls his faithful to be faithful, full of faith, not full of fear. This is we're not called to be timid, are we? We're being called to be full of power, and that power is the gospel. So whatever you're going through, whatever you've gone through, whether you're on the high or on the low, this gospel is power, and it will sustain us. Amen. Amen. That's why it's called good news. That's why the gospel is good news. Verse 7, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So yet again, this week, I just want to say afresh, let's make sure that we're not perverted. We don't listen to perversions, but we stick to straight street. We listen to the truth of God's word. And that's found in the Bible. If you want to know what God's word says, read it. Read it. Look at several translations. Read it for yourself. Don't just listen to me. Don't just listen to other ministers. Don't just read books. Don't just, listen to tapes or watch TV. Read God's word for yourself. Examine it. Cross-examine it so that you know it's the truth. Why am I emphasizing this? I'm glad you asked. Because it's so easy to miss the mark. We know that when we look at the word sin, to sin is to miss the mark. So if you have a bullseye and you just miss when you throw that dart, you've missed. Doesn't matter if you just miss, you missed a small amount or a large amount. For me and you, I don't want us to be perverted by perversion. I want us to know the truth and the whole truth. That's why I'm bringing this series of messages, which really should be labelled the power of the gospel. Because in this particular portion of scripture, Paul goes on to say, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one preached to us, let them be under God's curse. And I brought that story from the Old Testament to illustrate how easy it is to be hoodwinked, if that's the right word, by mature people and immature people, to be hoodwinked by those that we respect if we don't do our homework and look into God's word for ourselves. So that's why I'm bringing this. So we started with Romans 1 verse 16. I want to finish with Romans 3 verse 23. Now we've only been listening for a few minutes, but I want to read this portion of scripture out of you. Remember, we're speaking about the power of the gospel. So I want to remind us again, when we listen for ourselves afresh, to be encouraged that this power God gives to us earthen clay vessels. We leak, don't we? We are fragile at times, but God says there's a power that's within us, and that's the gospel. In Romans 3, verse 23, it says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's not good news, is it? But we need to know the bad news in order to appreciate the good news. So when we are being reminded afresh, it's good to be reminded of the wrath of God so that we can celebrate in the grace of God. Amen. Amen. I'm glad you agree with me. So I want to go back up to Romans 1 and Romans 3, verse 1, sorry, and read afresh this letter. Read afresh what God is saying so that we can fully appreciate the work of the cross, fully appreciate redemption, fully appreciate God's grace, so that we can be reminded that when we feel woe, and maybe you don't, maybe you are in a joyous situation, amen to that, and let's celebrate God. But maybe you have been feeling fragile because you've not been able to see loved ones. Maybe you've been feeling fragile because you haven't had the answers to some of the questions that you ask. Maybe you've been feeling discouraged because of circumstances and situations. Let me encourage you with some good news. Let me help you to appreciate that good news by sharing some bad news first. Is that okay? I'm glad you said yes. Right, Romans 3, verse 1. What advantage then is there to being a Jew, Paul says? Or what value is there in circumcision? Verse 2. Much in every way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the very words of God. God chose Israel, didn't he? He chose that nation to breathe into, to speak life into. He gave them his law. And yet we know through experience that it was impossible to meet the law. In verse 3, what if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? That's a fair question. Not at all. Let God be true and every human being a liar, as it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. Let me just pause there for a moment, because when I was reading this portion of scripture, one or two thoughts came into my mind and I want to share them with you. It says this in verse 3. What if some were unfaithful? So let's talk about us as Christians. We preach a message of hope and reconciliation, don't we? Yes, we do. We preach a message of redemption. We preach a message of faithfulness. And yet there are times where we as individuals and us as Christians are unfaithful. There are times when we speak to unchurched people, people who have little faith or no faith at all, they are quick to judge us according to our mistakes, aren't they? Yeah, but what about the Crusades? And what about this? And what about that? This is part of the reason why I'm bringing these messages on the power of the gospel. What if some were unfaithful? The question. Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? The answer is no. We are imperfect vessels bringing a perfect message. The message is still powerful even if it comes through imperfect vessels. So the truth of the gospel is this. Yes, there are times that we will fail people. Yes, there are times that we will be unfaithful. Yes, there are times in history where Christians or men and women that wear that badge of honour, I am a Christian, a follower of Christ, will do the wrong thing at the wrong time with the wrong motives. That's true. But does their conduct and our conduct, when it doesn't line up with God's word, does it nullify God's word? No. See, the power is in the gospel, not in the power is in the message, not the messenger. Let me say that again. The power is in the message, not the messenger. Now, we know that God is refining us and he's proving us and testing us and he's helping us and he's forgiving us. But I want to pause at this point because the message is about the power of the gospel. The gospel message is where the power is. The gospel message isn't us, is it? It's Christ in us. Glad you agree. Verse 5. But if our unrighteousness brings about God's righteousness more clearly, in other words, the darker we are, the lighter God shines, what shall we say? That God is unjust in bringing his wrath on us? I am using human argument, Paul says. Verse 6, certainly not. If that were so, how could God judge the world? Verse 7. Someone might argue, if my falsehood enhances God's truthfulness and so increases his glory, why am I still condemned as a sinner? Verse 8. Why not say, as some slanderously claim that we say, let us do evil that good may result, their condemnation is just. In other words, if the darker we are, the lighter and the brighter God is, then why complain, Lord? Why complain, God, at us when we do evil things? Because it only shows your righteousness. Well, Paul says, don't be silly, in other words. No, we are to be holy vessels. We are to be those that will preach the truth and nothing but the truth. In verse 9, no one is righteous. What shall we conclude then? Do we have any advantage? So whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, do we have any advantage? No, not at all. For we have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles are alike and are under the same power of sin. As it is written, there is no one righteous, no, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They are together become, they have become worthless. There is no one who does good. This is not good news, is it? This is the bad news. This is about our terminal condition. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats, Paul says, are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. Poison of vipers or asps, which is a poisonous snake, is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. This is not good news. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This is the Jew and the Gentile, Paul says. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. The law is just, but the problem is we can't keep it. That's what Paul's saying. We cannot keep it. So that every mouth may be silenced, the whole world held accountable to God. Verse 20, therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. Paul is bringing to the hearer the consciousness of our sin. He's bringing the damnation of God. He's saying that God is a just God and he will rule justly and he has to judge rightly. And we are all sinners and fallen astray, fallen away. The law was there to help us to be righteous before God, but we can't keep the law. That's the bad news. The fact is that, as I read earlier, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The gift of God is life and life in all its fullness. The curse that comes is eternal separation. Power is found in these words that I'm now going to read. Because we've heard the bad news. Now let's hear the good news of the gospel. When we read through Romans, we hear what Paul is saying time and time again about the power of God. And I want to preach to us, church, the power of God is in you. It's the gospel. In verse 21, but now apart from the law, we've heard about the law. We've heard that we can't keep the law. It's impossible to please God. But now we come to good news. But apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness, this right standing is given through faith. Faith in our ability? No. Faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God that was slain on Calvary's tree for me and you. Jesus Christ, to all who believe. That's why it's important. If you want this power in your life, then we need to have faith. Faith in Christ Jesus. We need to have that faith that will cause us to believe. There is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Doesn't matter where you was born, how you was born, how tall you are, what color you are. It doesn't matter what creed you are. It doesn't matter what nationality you are, whether you're Jew or whether you're Gentile, whether you was brought up in church or brought up an atheist. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then there are three words that are coming up that sums up the gospel that should get us excited about who God is and what he's done for us through the person of Jesus Christ. So let me share afresh with you so that you can receive afresh that power and that you can be fully equipped to share that good news with other people, even though you may get things wrong at time. It's not the messenger, it's the message. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, verse 24, and all are justified freely by his grace. Grace, remember that word, undeserved favor. It's been merited to us. His grace through redemption that comes by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement or propitiation. I think that was the word, the original word that's used. And it's been translated atonement. Through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness because of his forbearance. Right, let me go back. Just trying to get calm here, because it's easy to get excited, I think, when we look at the justification, the redemption, and the atonement that Christ has given us. Justification. All who are justified. Justified. I've written one or two things down here so that I don't misinterpret these words, because many of you will be aware that sometimes I get things back to front and upside down. You know what I mean, but the wrong words come out of my mouth. So justify, or to be justified. It's a legal term or a forensic term. It's a term that's used in court. If there's a condemned man, he's either condemned or he's justified. We want to be justified, not condemned, yes? Justified. They're declared righteous or right. So to use this word from a heavenly and an earthly perspective, to be justified means instead of being condemned, we're made righteous with God. We've been justified. And if you break that word down, we talk about sin. Right, the wages of sin is death, separation from God. Guilty, guilty, guilty. We're all guilty. But through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been justified, just as if I'd not sinned. So God says to us, the imperfect, that he's made perfect, and he declares us right with him. He declares us justified, right with God. That's the first word that's powerful in this message. The second word is redemption. Justified freely by his grace, it's a free gift, through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Redemption doesn't come any other way, it comes through Jesus Christ. So redemption, to redeem, to pay the price. It's a term that was found in the slave market. When somebody would redeem, then what they would do, they would pay a price for a slave. And redemption gives us this picture of value. There's a price that's been paid. So we've been redeemed through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has paid a price for me and you. That means that God has placed value on you and value on me. That's good news, isn't it? So where you are today, just think about that. God purchased you with his blood. This value been placed upon you. So not only are you justified through the grace, the gift of God, you've been purchased and been given a value because of the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. Verse 25 goes on to say this. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement, a propitiation. I think that's the right term. A sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood. Jesus had to shed his blood as an atonement. for me and for you. Let me just read down to the end of this portion of scripture that I want to read, and then let me just give you one or two final thoughts. By the shedding of his blood, to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, the righteousness of God, because of his forbearance. He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. This is a message for all those that will put their faith in Jesus Christ. God justifies, redeems, and atones. Atonement. Let me just break it down a little bit for you. An atonement, a covering. Remember what happened in Genesis? Excuse me. When man sinned against God, he realized that he was naked, and God covered his nakedness with a skin. There was a shedding of blood as a covering for man's sinfulness. Well, this word atonement or propitiation is a covering. When the law states that the priest has to go into the Holy of Holies, when you look at the whole temple court, the Holy of Holies, to sacrifice, to sprinkle blood on the altar, on the mercy seat, on the covenantal box. So you have a box that was in the Holy of Holies. You have the law inside. You have the lid, and you have the cherubim. And the priest was commanded on an annual basis to go into the Holy Holies and sprinkle blood on that mercy seat, sprinkle blood on that box as a covering. The lid would cover over the law, and he would sacrifice blood once for himself and then again for the people. So there had to be a sprinkling of blood to cover the sin of humanity. So just bear that picture as we've got here. The law states that the priest would enter the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood for his sin and then again for the sins of Israel. So for me and you, for our sin, the blood was placed on the mercy seat between the cherubim and God's law. And that's where God would meet man. He would meet man on the mercy seat between the cherubim and the law. That's where man would meet God. And there was a covering of blood. When we look at this story, when we look at the truth of the gospel, Jesus becomes our propitiation. Jesus becomes our atonement. Jesus becomes our covering. His blood covers our sin. In Jesus Christ, this is where God meets us. He doesn't meet us in the law. He doesn't meet us in religion. He doesn't meet us in good works. He meets with us at the point of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ became our justification, our redemption, and our atonement, our covering. Yes, that's the power of the gospel. We can read the gospel and we know that there's power in the gospel, but the power is not reading the gospel. No, it's not. The power is not knowing about the gospel. The power is in accepting the gospel. That's where the power comes. The transformation comes when we accept that gift. We're coming up to Christmas, aren't we? I know you don't like to use the C word, the Christmas word, but we will be entering into December, leading up to the day that we as Christians celebrate the coming of Christ. It's a day that we set aside as a representation of, this is the day that we're going to celebrate that God sent his son into the world. He came as a baby. He grew as a man. He died as a man. He rose again as a man. He went to sit at the right hand of God, interceding for me and you. We, at Christmas, are given gifts. What would you think if you gave me a gift at Christmas and I threw it back in your face? How would that make you feel? Not very good, would it? If the parents out there, mums, if you gave your children a gift and they just said, I don't want that, how would it make you feel? Dads, grandparents, those that are on your own, if you've given a friend or a relative a gift, if you've saved up and you've thought about what they would like and you've picked out something for them that you feel will really enhance their life or they'll really appreciate, and they turn their noses up at your gift, how would you feel as human, as man, as woman? Disappointed. Yes? Disappointed. How much more God that goes through the justification of being just, because he's a just God, he has to judge sin. That's why we will all give an account. Every knee will bow. Everyone will be held accountable. The judge is judgmental. You cannot have good news without bad news. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But all are freely given the opportunity to receive the grace of God. That's the power, is receiving the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So let's not turn away from the gift God has given us. If you're already a Christian, amen, let's celebrate. But God has more for us. He has work for us to do. He has grace for us to receive. He has joy for us to walk in. Amen? Amen. Those that don't know God, and what I mean by this is, I'm not talking about know about God. There's lots of people that know about God. The power is not in that. Reading about God, doesn't matter how much you know. You could be a concordance. You could know scripture inside out, upside down and back to front. You could quote chapter and verse to me, makes no difference. The power is not in reading the word. The power is in accepting the word. When we accept the word, in the beginning was the word became flesh, the flesh became spirit. The word is Jesus Christ. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ, that's when that power comes in and we're born again and set free. Amen? Amen. So for those that don't know Christ, today you can, because today is the day of salvation. Don't just know about him, but receive him. How do you do that? Talk to him. We'll perhaps pray together in a few moments. But first of all, I want to speak to church, to Grace. Thank you for listening to what God is saying. Thank you for not getting fed up and bored with the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. This is a message that we need to be saturated with. This is a message that we need to be reminded of, that even though we are imperfect, he is perfect. Even though when we speak to people, they may say, yeah, but... And we can say, it's not about me, it's about Christ in me. It's about the redemption, the justification and the atonement of God. God has given us the opportunity to fall on the mercy seat, and his blood covers us. And that's where we meet God, through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your justification, your redemption and your atonement. We thank you for your grace and we thank you for your gift. Father, as Christians, we pray that you will continue to empower us and embolden us to be who you've called us to be. Help us to be the best that we can be. We ask this in Jesus' name. And my prayer to all those that have never accepted Christ as Savior and Lord, it's not about going to a church. It's not about owning a Bible. It's about falling on that mercy seat and being covered by the blood of Jesus and allowing the power of God to enter you. Father God, I repent of my sins. I turn away from my old life. I accept Jesus Christ as my justification. I accept Jesus Christ as my redemption. I accept Jesus Christ as my atonement. Father, I thank you that you've paid the price in Jesus' blood, that I may be set free and that I may spend eternity with you. Jesus Christ, come and inhabit my life. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. I ask in Jesus' name. But we all said, amen.